the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes we posit the question asking, how great is the difference between the one who is baptized and the one who is not? Between the one who confesses Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the one who does not? Between the Christian who is a member of Christ's body, the church, by faith, and the one who is not? And sometimes, with a sense of humility and an acute awareness of our own sins and the failings of the church, we say that there is no real difference. And now there is a limited sense in which this is true. If we are talking about a difference that inheres in us, a virtue that is our own, worked by our own powers and strength apart from the grace of God, there is no difference between the Christian and the heathen. For as St. Paul says, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And so we cannot be haughty. We cannot look down upon those who do not yet believe. We did not believe. We did not become Christians by our own power or strength, by our own moral virtue. As Luther puts it so succinctly in the Small Catechism, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength come to Jesus Christ my Lord or believe in him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified me and kept me in the true faith. No, we did not save ourselves, and therefore we have no grounds for boasting. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Or as St. Paul says again, just a couple verses later in slightly different words, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Indeed, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So in one sense, it is true that there is no real difference between the one who is in Christ and the one who is not. That is, if we are speaking about our own accomplishments or powers or something that belongs to ourselves about which we can take credit and boast, in that case, there is nothing. But on the other hand, to say that there's no real difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is a false humility. Because to do so does not deny our own power and strength, but the power and strength of God's grace. For we see from the words of the apostle and the words of the Lord himself that there is a very great difference between the one who is in Christ and the one who is not. As stark a difference as there is between darkness and light, between death and life, slavery and lordship. It is the difference between being dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked and alive together with Christ. The difference between following the course of this world and being raised up with Jesus and seated in the heavenly place with the Father. The difference between following the prince of the power of the air, being enslaved to the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and being God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What is the real difference? Well, on account of God's grace, it is all the difference in the world. Indeed, all of us have been bitten by that ancient serpent, that venom of sin, has corrupted and weakened and destroyed our natural powers, that original righteousness which loved and trusted in God above all things, that freely was able to choose that which was good and right and wholesome. It has been destroyed. But just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so that all who looked upon it would be saved from the fiery snakes, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Indeed, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In two ways, God, by sending his Son, changes everything. The first is that our status, our relationship to God, and our standing before his holy law is changed. All who look upon the Son of Man lifted up and believe that he died for the forgiveness of their sins are forgiven. As Jesus says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. We go from guilty to not guilty, from condemned to not condemned, from being by nature children of wrath to being in Christ sons of the Heavenly Father, in whom he is well pleased. And this is by grace, as St. Paul says. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And second, beyond that, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is, we are a new creation being fashioned after the image of Christ, purged from the venom of sin day by day. And this is also by grace and not your own doing. It is the gift of God. And so it is true, as the Holy Scriptures say and make perfectly clear, that the Christian still struggles against the flesh, fights against sin, and is constantly in need of God's gracious forgiveness day by day. But he is no longer a slave to sin. Hear again the words of the apostle. You were, past tense, dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked following the course of this world, but no longer. Now we are, present tense, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, but no longer, because we have been made alive with Christ Jesus. While on the other hand, those of the world are in slavery, following the prince of the power of the air, living in the passions of the sinful flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. That is the difference. Now, the difference between an individual Christian and an individual unbeliever, if we were comparing those two lives, might be difficult to discern. There are civilly righteous pagans and Christians who have a particularly acute struggle with sin. And it is only God who can judge the heart and know whose are his and whose are not. But as is often the case in the aggregate, if we look at the big picture, the distinction becomes much clearer. When we look at the culture as it changes around us, is it Bible-believing Christians that stand up and cheer for the mass slaughter of human children during the President's State of the Union address? No, it is not. For the Christian who is God's workmanship in Christ Jesus knows that every child is a gift from God, whom we are called to love and to protect in the image of Christ. That no child is to be cast off and discarded for the sake of pursuing our own autonomy or freedom or base passions and pleasures. It is not the Christians who wish to dissolve marriage so that each person might seek every dissolute form and mode of life, gratifying every strange, disordered desire. We do not follow the course of the world. which is in an inevitable spiral towards chaos, disorder, and death, consumed by its own destructive passions. But here again is that important note. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This distinction is not a cause for our boasting in ourselves. For such were we apart from the grace of God. And in this we recognize that those still walking according to the flesh, still walking according to the world, are not our enemies. But those to whom the Son of Man lifted up should be proclaimed. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The proclamation of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life has the power to change hearts. It is God's grace. It is his gift. And it is the power of God unto salvation. And as we are in Lent also, let us make special observation of our own lives. Take time to observe and discern our own spirit in light of God's law and those works to which we are called. And repent of those things which make our lives look indistinguishable from that of the unbeliever. In what ways are you still following the passions of your flesh? What sin or addiction still has hold of you? Bring it up to God in prayer. Confess it either to your pastor or in private before your heavenly Father. Receive the absolution and pray that the Father give his Holy Spirit to fight it. What vocation are you half-heartedly pursuing which should call forth your full attention? What grievance do you have against a family member or friend or in-law or fellow member in Christ's body which you are called to forgiveness? Is it a grievance and an old feud that goes back a decade or a modern one? Have you put the best construction on their actions or the worst? Whatever it may be, only you and God know. Confess, be forgiven, pray for the strength to forgive, and seek reconciliation. For these are the works to which you are called, and you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Amen. You may rise for the offertory.